Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here, and I am back with another awesome interview. Today in the guest chair, I have Selena Howard. Selena is the creative director and stylist for Vain Glorious Brides, a boutique bridal styling solution for the modern bride. Selena started Vainglorious Brides on the side while she was teaching. She got her undergrad and master's degree to become a full-time educator. However, her events and planning and stylist talent was calling her. She started out as a planner and pivoted into this brand new world that she didn't even know could exist, called bridal styling. And in today's episode, you'll hear about how she got started, how she educated her clientele about their need for this world of bridal styling. And you'll also hear the fact that she side hustled and for the first 3 years did not make any money from this business. So hear how she grew it out. Today, as CEO of Vainglorious Brides, Selena offers custom bridal shopping experiences, day of dressing services, editorial services, bridal fashion product styling, creative direction, and bridal fashion event production. So you name it. She also owns and operates Vainglorious Brides The Boutique, a dress salon based in Atlanta, Georgia. And you may have seen Selena in some of your favorite publications like Luna Lucci, Brides Magazine, The New York Times, and even on TV, featured on Bravo TV's Blood, Sweat, and Heels or VH1 Love and Hip Hop's The Wedding. Her client roster includes celebrities like Eva Marcel of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia Williams of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Natori Naughton of Power, and so much more. In today's episode, we get into the real grit and grind that it takes to start out this business, carve out a lane, educate clients about their need for this kind of services, and scale. So let's get right into it. Well, hello. Welcome, Selena, to the guest chair. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You know, I am doing well. I'm so excited to chat with you. We met, like, what is it now, 5 years ago? I taught you a treat.
Yes.
Before COVID, before the world lockdown. And before that, I'd known about your business. I actually remember finding out about it after I'd already gotten married, like, right. Man, I would, if I had known, I would have used her, because it is, it's hard to figure out what to wear on your own for your big day.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about how you got into this line of work, because I understand. So you went to Virginia State University, right?
Yes. The best HBCU in all of the
land. Okay. So you spent some time teaching after that. What was your original career path coming out of undergrad?
Okay. Well, initially I was in school to be a health scientist. That's what I studied for. So okay. I came out with my degree in health science. But then I decided to go into teaching. So that was about 2002. I graduated. A year later, I started teaching. So I taught kindergarten through 12th grade, health and physical education from about 2003 to 2016.
Now, Vainglorious Brides, you're celebrating either the 10th or 11th year, depending on how you look at it.
Depending on how I look at it. I thought it was 10 years, but I think it's 11 years.
So it sounds like you were side hustling, of course. Now, when did you get into side hustling? You did event planning before styling. So tell us how that came about.
So like a lot of other event planners or wedding planners in the industry who plan their own weddings, we become obsessed with the industry and decide to become wedding planners. But the way it happened for me is I decided that I would buy all of these things. Like I bought chair covers, linens, candles, all this stuff. And my husband said, well, what are you going to do with this stuff? I said, well, maybe I'll become a wedding planner so that I can use it. And he was like, well, you just need to. You spend all this money on it. I said, absolutely. I'm going to become a wedding planner. So I think I planned about 3 weddings, like the entire wedding, before I decided that I said, you know what? I'm not in love with this whole process with like planning whole weddings, but I do love working in weddings. So what is it that I can do to still remain in the wedding industry, but not be a wedding planner? So the first thing I said was, maybe I'll do flowers. So I did one wedding where I did the flowers. I said, well, this ain't for me either. I don't want to do this.
What was it about wedding planning that you did not enjoy? Because that's an important part of figuring out your side hustle, you guys.
Right.
Figuring out what you don't like.
What I don't like. I didn't like being in charge of everything. Like, I didn't want to be in charge of every aspect of the wedding, making sure the whole entire wedding was the way. I wasn't at all excited about that. And I felt like I wanted to work more intimately with the bride. So when I was a wedding planner, I used to attend the dress fittings. And then I realized during those fittings that, wow, when I would watch like how the fittings would go, when we would go dress shopping, that the brides really needed an advocate or someone who specialized in that area. And I said, well, there's no one that really does this. So I started to analyze it. And for a minute, I was side hustling doing both. So I planned like a wedding or two, I think. And then I was still doing styling. So I had Selena Howard events and I had Vainglorious Brides. And I was a teacher. So I was trying to find my way like, okay, I know I don't want to be a wedding planner, but I'm trying to remember. I had like 2 or 3 weddings still booked. So I needed to continue to, you know, service that client. But then I hired a career coach, someone in the wedding industry who had been in the wedding industry, and to kind of figure out what I was doing and how I was going to move forward. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what? If I were you, I would completely ditch Selena Howard events and focus on Vainglorious Brides, because I'm looking at what it is you're trying to do, and no one really does this. I feel like the market is wide open. There are hundreds and thousands of wedding planners, but I don't know if anyone does this. I think you should really focus on building this.
I love that. That was an excellent career coach and an excellent observation. And I want to just highlight for a second that evolution that you went through. So sometimes when we start out on the side hustle process, there are things we love about what we do, and there are things that we don't love about what we're doing. And sometimes we think that we still have to continue doing it all.
Right.
Well, why don't we reevaluate? So whoever you are right now, as you're listening, if there are things about what you're doing that you don't like, take a second, maybe reevaluate. Do I really need to do all of this? Can I focus in on a particular area of this side hustle a little bit further, like Selena did? So I love that you did that. And what exactly is a bridal stylist? Let's take a step back for a second so people fully understand, if you, especially if you've never gotten married before, what is a bridal stylist?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't really even know what it was. I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew the service that I wanted to offer. So when I was sitting in those fittings and the alterations and talking dresses, I realized that some of the clients, some of them were timid. They were kind of afraid to speak up and say, no, I don't like that. Some of them were very overwhelmed and consumed by family members and friends who were in those fittings with them. And then just throughout the whole process, as when I had my clients, they just constantly needed something as it pertained to the fashion aspect of the wedding. And as a wedding planner, you're focused on everything. So you, you know, you're not going to, the wedding planner is not going to sit there and choose everything up to your earring and making sure you have the proper undergarments on. You know, they're doing your DJ, your catering, your flowers, you know, your timeline, making sure your guests are, you know, it's just all of the moving parts. So when I started this, I said, okay, so I want to be, I guess what you would call a bridal stylist. So I Googled it. And when I Googled it, I found two people who were doing it. I found a woman in New York who was doing it. And I found a woman in San Francisco who was doing it. But I couldn't find anything current on the woman in San Francisco. And I looked up the woman in New York City. She was a bit standoffish, so I kind of left her alone. So I started doing some research. And I said, well, bridal salons go to something called Bridal Market. Twice a year, where they meet the design, the different designers, and purchase dresses for their stores. I said, maybe that's a good place for me to kind of even get an edge on what's going on with the fashions and all of that. So I went to Bridal Market for the first time, I believe it was 2012, and I met another young woman. Her name is Lurkia Lee, the bridal savvy guru. She also called herself a bridal stylist. You know, she looked like us. So I said, oh, wow. I said, okay. So her and I instantly became friends. I was like, she's already doing it, probably been doing it a little longer than me. So she kind of like took me under her wing and mentored me a bit and brought me on a photo shoot with Muna Lucci Bride for the first time. And then from there, I kind of been moving ever since. And kind of trial and error is how I become to learn what a bridal stylist is. So as of right now today, what I would say a bridal stylist is a person who curates the bridal fashion experience for someone who's getting married. And that looks very different for everyone. So I always tell people there's no one way to style a bride because everyone comes to me with different needs. Whereas when you have a regular stylist or a fashion stylist that may be styling celebrities for red carpet, they pretty much completely 100% blindly trust their stylist to just bring different things. But a bridal stylist is different because you have to consider what the bride wants, what she's always dreamed of, what her vision is. Because one thing you don't want is 10 years from now for a bride to look at the pictures and say, that woman picked my dress out and I hated it. So bridal styling is a completely different dynamic than regular styling. So that's what I would define it as. It's a person who curates the bridal fashion experience for someone who's getting married, however that may look.
And I love that in creating this business, creating this role for yourself, you identified a pain point that you were seeing throughout the process of planning weddings. So, you know, when a person is getting married, especially when they go for their bridal fitting, often there's a lot going on depending on who they select to go with them. And brides, be careful, or people getting married, be careful when you bring people along with you, because you have to remember their energy, even if you don't want it, is going to influence your decision. And I even feel bad looking back at, you know, times when I've gone with people and like we get swept up and we're like, oh, that's the one. And the person is, they're clouded. And it's only when they've had a moment to sit in their thoughts are they like, wait, is this really what I want? Or is this what, you know, everyone else got excited about? So a bridal stylist is important because they can help you focus and just say, hey, what is it that I want? What's my vision?
What is it that I want? And kind of like, what I've had to do is I've had to put a clause in my contract where I reserve the right to see services at any given point if the people that you bring with you are not allowing me to do my job. Because sometimes they don't. And it's like they'll try to overtalk you. Ooh, and, you know, I have relationships with different stores, and sometimes I'll be trying to work stuff out, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, work a deal out, get an extra 10% off, or get something that they're telling us we can't get. And I know that my client really wants it, and I'm trying to, like, you know, work my magic and do my thing, because I have relationships with people, and you have people in the fitting. No, we don't want this. That don't look good. And I'm like, if they start all that, I'm going to kindly have a seat and let your guests take over the appointment. It's brides will stand there like a deer in headlights sometimes, because it's like, it's so much noise. It's you got your friends, and sometimes your mom wants to see you in what she's always envisioned you in. Yes, and they don't mean any harm. Most times it's all coming from a loving place.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you still want to make sure that you're not only getting what it is that you really want and what you really love, but something that's going to look good on you, something you can afford.
Yeah.
You know, all of those factors, something that even goes with the vibe of the wedding. Like, you're getting married in a barn. You don't need a 20-foot poofy ball gown to drive.
You know? I've seen someone get married in Jamaica and have this Victorian style heavy dress. I'm like, now, girl.
Logistics, it's gonna look nice, but the logistics,
the heat alone. So moving right along so we just had to break that down for our audience. So tell me how you break it down for brides to let them know, hey, here's another expense you should take on for your wedding, and here's why you need me. How did you handle that process?
That was very difficult. I didn't get paid for about 3 years.
Wow.
So I worked for free or for press to build relationships for about 3 years. I didn't get my first paying client until about 2015.
Wow.
So
and how did you get that first paying client?
From a planner, El Audrey New York. I always shout her out because she was the first planner to ever hire me. And she hired me for a celebrity client that didn't have a budget. She was like, she doesn't have a budget. I said, I don't care. Just get me in the room. I said, I don't care if she has a budget. I said, I knew that this was something that nobody knew what it was.
Yes.
Because they were like, what is a bridal stylist? Why do I need that? And I'm like, I knew I was going to have to physically get in there and show people what it is that I do and prove my value. So I told the planner, I said, listen, she don't need a budget. I'm in there. Just let me know where I need to be. Let me do all of the things. So that was Demetria Lucas, Abel in Brooklyn, when she got married.
Yes, yes.
So I worked with that planner. We did her wedding. We had an amazing time. And from there, that planner, a year later, no, I think after Demetri, I did Yandy, Love and Hip Hop. That was the one where she had the two dresses and we had to choose the first time her and DC's got married. I did that wedding as well. We went viral from there. She gave me an excellent review. And from there, that wedding planner that booked me for Demetria, booked me for her first paying bride. She says, I'm going to bring you on. This bride has a budget. Because a lot of the brides was like, I don't have a budget for that. What is that? So she was like, I have somebody that has the budget. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that couple, too, because, I mean, they were good to us. Every time the bride for me, she gave me a tip. It was crazy. Yeah, it was like, you know what? It kind of set the bar really high, because after that, I was kind of like, because, you know, every time, like, is this what this is like? Every time we have a fitting, every time we
appreciated,
she gives me a $200 tip. This is amazing. Wow. But I always tell people it's relative. Like, at the end of the day, having a wedding in general is a luxury experience, luxury expense. We can all get married at the courthouse or in our living room and not spend more than $20 or however much a marriage license costs. Right. But for one to even consider having an elaborate wedding or an elaborate affair to spend tens of thousands, some people over hundreds of thousands of dollars for a wedding, it's a luxury. So I always tell people it's relative. My clients are brides who, number one, they either may be very busy, working. I get all types of clients who just don't have the time to sit and figure out, I know what I want to get, but I don't have the time to jump around from store to store trying to figure it out. Let me hire you because you're going to tell me exactly where I need to go. You have the connections with this designer that I love. I want her to make my dress. You can make it happen. I don't have time to do it. Go ahead, right on, and get that going. So that's one way they come to us. That's very important to them. That's a luxury mm-hmm. to them, that experience. The other thing is they don't want to have to worry about anything on a wedding day, because we yeah. come in there, we steam everything, we prep everything. You know, we make it so mom and bridesmaids can sit down and kiki and you guys can ship the champagne while yeah. we're basically doing all of the steaming, the prepping, helping the bride get dressed and just moving out of the way for those shots, for those prime photos. So our brides, it's relative to them. They want to have somebody guide them through that experience. And what I tell people is an average person will never hire a stylist. Mm-hmm. What better day than your wedding day to hire somebody to completely take care of and curate your fashion experience
yes.
and how you look. And I always say, we're going to make the aisle your runway.
Yes, yes, for yes. I love it.
One time in your life. All eyes are
you. Right.
Everybody look at me. That's why we call it Vainglorious Brides, because I feel like wedding days are like the most conceited days of your life.
Right.
Spend $20,000 on a wedding dress and invite 300 people to look at me. So, you know what I'm saying? And watch me profess my love. Why not hire somebody to make you feel even more amazing, even yes. more special, and even more catered to for that once in a lifetime moment? Right. So that's what I usually tell my clients.
You just reminded me about another aspect of the wedding dress selection process that mm-hmm. you often don't realize unless you're going through it, is that all of a sudden when you're getting ready to go to these salons, you have to figure out, well, what style of gown do you want? And unless you're someone who's been dreaming about this since you're five, you mm-hmm. don't know what a trumpet versus a blah, blah, blah is, like a ball gown. You're just like, so now you go into the salon and they're asking you this, like, you know, right, like, oh, right. bring me these, bring me that. Right. So it really,
because we'll talk
helps
it through.
You. Yeah.
Right. We'll talk it
through. You might have pictures, but
mm-hmm. you'll have pictures. Sometimes yeah. the bride will say, oh, I know I want a mermaid. I want a fitted dress. And they yeah. get there and they put on a ball gown and they're like, oh my God, I never thought I would want a ball
yes.
gown. And
yeah.
it's completely opposite. Cause I try to get all right. my brides to try on the different uh-huh. range of dresses.
Yeah.
There are some brides who are like, nope, I won't try. I know what I want. And they stick with the one thing that they yes. want. They're very decisive.
Yeah, I knew I was not going to be in a ball gown. I knew it. I'm too short for that. I don't want no one thinking I'm hiding nothing.
Right. Like, right.
You know? Right. But then also another aspect is the fact that some salons, they make you go out there and just start pulling through racks. And it's yes. like, yes. you don't know what you're looking for.
You don't
so.
Know what you're looking at. And then when that happens, and most of my clients are like, I trust Alina. Yep. So I'll help them, you know, I'll go and pull. I have relationships with a lot of the stores, especially mm-hmm. in New York City. So they usually let me on the floor and let me go okay. in the back and pull, and look for different things that I think may work for the client. And, mm-hmm. If they really are smart, they'll just,
yeah.
I get stores that push back. If they don't really know me that well, they push yeah. back against my presence, which is actually like, I'm the one that's going to help you. If she loves the dress, I'm going to help
sale.
You sell. So yeah. it's in your best interest to kind of just, you know, work with me. But a lot of the salons, 95% of them, they see me all the time. They okay. know me. They know, here comes Selena. And they allow me to go and pull, and they yeah. take my input. When I make certain suggestions, or I say, you know, we're going to kind of steer away from this. Or even sometimes I'll tell a yeah. bride, I'm completely honest. I had a bride that wore this dress and it fell yeah. apart. I don't think
Why?
We need to. Different things like that happen. So what? Some things your best friend or cousins that go yeah. shopping with you may not know or may not be able to tell you. I can definitely confirm the integrity of a lot of different dresses mm. or whether something is going to be difficult yeah. or easy in alterations for us to get it to look amazing.
Right.
So
right.
that's another perk to having a bridal stylist.
Okay. So now okay. let's talk about how you built those relations with the salon. So you talked about how you educated brides. The other mm-hmm. piece of that is obviously developing those relationships with salons.
Right.
How did you go about that process?
When in the beginning, remember when I said I worked for free for about two yeah. or 3 years? I did a lot of photo shoots. I did okay. a lot of staged and styled photo shoots just to kind of have content, build relationships mm-hmm. with different vendors. So I would go into these stores and pull wedding dresses mm-hmm. and borrow wedding dresses for photo shoot. So kind of giving them some free press. Free okay. publicity. I built relationships with designers and owners. And then once I started getting paying clients and booking the appointments, they started to know me from constantly coming in and bringing clients in. and from going to, remember I mentioned bridal market. So I would show up to bridal market twice a year, whether I had clients or not.
And what's bridal market?
Bridal market is bridal fashion week. It's kind of like what New York Fashion Week is to the fashion world, is to us in the bridal world. So that's when all the designers from all over the world, they come to New York, they host runway shows, and then they do their wholesaling as well. So the stores from all over the world will come to New York to see their newest collections to purchase. So
I love it.
I would meet the stores. I would meet people from the stores at bridal market. They would always see me there. At the time, I was like, I would wear my hair bald headed, like a really close fade, and I always have this purple lipstick on, so everyone always recognized me. So the designers knew me from coming to the booth and talking to them. So just getting
That's
out
how
there,
you started networking. Out. Now you obviously not working for free anymore. No. So when did you start? When did you start having recurring revenue and actually formalize this business?
1 year after my first paying client. So my first paying client was 2015. I quit my teaching job February of 2016.
Okay.
So I don't even know if it was a year. So I had two brides that went viral. Shaq and Drew Say I Do. A lot of people remember that. It was Shaq. And then Makini, she threw flowers in the industry.
Yes, Makini, I remember Makini's shoot vividly, beautiful, gorgeous. Yeah.
Yep. So I had two brides that went viral, and I had so many consultations after that. I couldn't even get up from my laptop for like 2 weeks. It was constantly trying to, and I booked out my calendar for like basically for like 2016, 2017. And my husband was like, well, I said, I don't want to go work no more. Because at this point, I was calling out for crazy stuff. I was calling out to go to conferences and taking all my days. And just, I would be halfway across the world calling people like, I got vertigo, or whatever, anything. And I just got to the point where it was beginning to be a lot for me to manage. So talked it over with hubby, and he was like, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. I said, okay, I'm quitting. He said, quit.
So shout out to like supportive hubbies.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're a small business owner, this is for you. Running a business is just plain hard. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it. And now I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto builds an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 300,000 businesses by taking the pain out of tasks like automated payroll tax filing, direct deposit, health insurance administration, 401k, onboarding tools, you name it. Gusto makes it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Their support team is attentive and helpful. And since money can be tight sometimes, you'll even get 3 months free. Just go to gusto.com/SHP and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/SHP. Just like that, but let's break it down a little bit because, you know, I know all of us, a lot of people don't want to go to work.
Right.
But then we look at the bills and we're like, all right, but we got to pay this bill.
Right.
So tell us more about what it means when you booked out your calendar and also when you had consultations. So what does that mean financially? Did you charge a deposit for, you know, having a booking on your calendar? Did you charge for consultations?
In the beginning, I was not charging for consultations, which was like career suicide.
Yes.
I sat in front of like constantly talking. And then let's just say if I talked to 10 people, only about four of them would book in a day. I mean, I'm not saying I book four people per day, but just giving you a ratio. It wasn't very high. So I said, okay, well, let me start charging for consultations because then you get more serious people. If they pay, the more likely, you know, that they're serious about your services, not just fishing for information.
Yes.
Because I got that a lot in the beginning. People just fishing for information or just basically trying to, you know, figure out what's going on or not really serious or they didn't want to like pay.
Oh.
So once I did that, I kind of weeded out the people who were serious. And once they confirmed with me, yes, they signed a contract and I have them sign a retainer 50% up front and I held their wedding date and we began working with one another. So once I booked out my calendar for a year, it was enough for me to be able to sustain. And I like to always be very transparent. That looks very different for everyone, especially if you're not married. So, and there's a whole nother, you know, income in the home. You know, if you're married, it gives you a little bit more room to kind of
splitting the bills in any way, you know, with a partner. Yeah, it gives you a little more room.
If you're splitting the bills with someone or you have someone that says, okay, I'll pay everything. You know, it looks very different.
That's another conversation.
That's a whole other conversation. So it looks very different for everyone. So, you know, I would just like to say, you know, if you get to that point, you do need to make sure you can sustain yourself the same as you would, you know, if you were still working your 9-to-5, if you decide to completely turn your side hustle into your main.
Into your main hustle.
Well, very serious that. Conversation that you have to have some arguments.
You have to plan. You have to plan for the leap. And so that's why I always just want to know a little bit more about what your thought process was in going into it, you know?
I just felt like I had to jump because it was such a niche market. And then once it got rolling at that point, because we had went viral, I felt like I had to capitalize on that moment and be able to be 100% present and give my all to building it. And especially since there was no blueprint. So I was creating a process through trial and error. And as I went along to create something called bridal styling, which, you know, there was no one for me to cling to. There was no package for me to buy, no template for me to buy.
No course, like here's how you open up this kind of a business.
Nothing. So it was just, you know, so I just felt like I needed to do that. But in the end, it ended up working out because I did the same thing for my husband. He got to a point. And the job that he was in, that he no longer wanted to be there. And it was another job that he wanted, but he needed to quit. And I was able to tell him to quit.
Yes. I love it.
Right.
That partnership is about,
that
you know.
So I did it for, you know, he did it for me. I did it for him. He did it for me way longer. His break maybe was like a month. Mine was like 2 years. But, you know, before I was able to, you know, be able to say, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. When he was like, don't worry about nothing. Just take all of the money and basically put it back into the business. Cause you need to be able to do that too.
Yes.
So yeah, it's not easy, especially when you're creating a niche and a market. I would say it is a bit easier for people who do something that's already been done. Cause you can basically follow a blueprint. You know, but when you have
to
kind of
find clues,
you can find
from what other people have done,
right? But when no one is really doing it, or you have one or two people who do it, but they're not really transparent or open to share, you know, you got to kind of figure it out.
And that's why I'm so proud of you, because I always knew it was a great idea. Like I said, I was wishing that I had known about your services when I was, you know, starting that process, but at the same time, I wasn't keeping tabs every second on what you were up to. So then there's sometimes when I'm just reading an article about, you know, a celebrity's wedding, and they're like, and we were styled by Vainglorious. I'm like, go ahead, Selena.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I feel all of the love and good energy from everyone who supported me.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, so let's pivot a little bit.
Okay.
Into the first years. Okay. So now you have quit your job. You are doing this full time. What were those initial years like as far as revenue, client consistency, and payment? How was that for you?
It was pretty good in the beginning, until I started realizing I couldn't do everything by myself. Then it got difficult, because I tried to do everything by myself for a minute. Like I had one assistant who would help me. But then once it started picking up, things started picking up, I had to get help. So I had to get assistance to help me on the back end, to help me on the front end. But in terms of revenue, it's been pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Like I can't even complain about the consistency even now till this day. And then I started creating other revenue streams within that revenue stream.
Like what?
I assist designers. So what I started doing was, when designers would have trunk shows or pop-ups or the designer, I started with the designer, Leah DeGloria, when she would come from Australia, I would help her plan her trip and find a location for her to host and see brides. So that would generate additional income. And from that, I've been doing that all this year. I've done like 4 pop-ups already.
Wow. That's so cool. I had no idea you did that.
So I incorporated another revenue stream within that.
What exactly do you get paid for in that revenue stream? Is it kind of like a commission structure, or how does it work?
No, I get paid for like planning. Like planning.
Oh, for planning. Okay, got it.
For planning it. But it's a fashion. I'm okay with that planning, because it's strictly fashion-based. It's about wedding dresses. It's about making sure we got the mannequins, the racks. A beautiful location that brides to be would love to come to, and then also being there with the designer on that day to kind of help cater to the clientele.
Okay, so that's more manageable. It's not dealing with all these rogue wedding vendors who you never worked with in your life.
Exactly. And within that time, we also opened up a boutique in Atlanta. So we had our own dress boutique that we launched prior to COVID. And the styling business was doing good, but that business took a hit because soon as we launched the business, we shut down. Mm. So we shut down in March. I had my launch party in January. We booked out the books. Like people were coming in for appointments, buying dresses. Yeah. Then we shut down in March.
Ooh.
So when we came back from that, what I was left with was a bunch of abandoned wedding dresses that girls didn't want to pay for, but I still had to pay for them. From a business standpoint and how COVID affected us, small businesses.
Question here. So when someone puts a deposit on a dress, so the business itself pays for that dress, is what you're saying. Okay. And then they pay it off. So you still have to pay for that dress.
In order for us to get your dress, we have to purchase it from the designers.
Yeah.
So we literally, when you order your dress, we literally purchase your dress.
Yeah.
But then I had about 8 or 9 brides to just abandon their order, not make any payment. So I still have to pay for that. So from that, small business, just getting started, we took a hit for that. My styling business, pumping. But that branch off of the business, that took a hit. So we pulled back from that from a bit. We're restructuring it. And we're going to launch bigger and better towards the end of the year. We're going to relaunch that. Okay. But yeah, we took that little COVID hit. But, you know, I took that on the chest.
Yeah.
It's the cost of doing business.
Right.
You know, sometimes.
Were you able to get any financial relief via grants or loans during COVID?
We did. Enough to sustain to be able to pay the bills, even though we weren't having appointments. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we did qualify. We got a couple of grants. One of my good girlfriends was really good on staying top of that. She was like, apply for this. And we were applying for grants, and we were getting those grants, and they were helping throughout. But for that, it was such a huge hit for us because we were new and we were very small, by appointment only, really small boutique. A lot of these bridal salons are very big. You know, we were small. Right. It's okay. Like I said, I took that on the chest.
Yes. And we're moving forward.
It's the cost of doing business.
And we're moving forward.
And you keep moving. I call it the slingshot theory, you know. Sometimes you got to pull it back to pop forward. So
I like that slingshot. Yes. And a lot of us go through those slingshot moments for sure.
Absolutely. Just keep your head in the game.
Now, so you're selling dresses. You're also providing the bridal styling services.
Yes.
So you're saying the bridal styling services still pumping, but the actual
still pumping. I can't complain. Jesus. Even through COVID, like I had brides that booked me like in the midst of COVID and was like, I don't even know what my wedding date is going to be, but I just know I want to be on your calendar. I had one bride, we were together for 2 years, like almost 3 years. I feel like she booked me 2019, right before COVID, and she didn't have her wedding till last year, 2023.
Wow. Yeah, so that was a span of crazy
we
years.
We have been blessed for this to be like a niche, something that, you know, for us to do that is not done by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can't complain on the clients. I can't complain on that level of the business at all.
Now are you originally from Jersey?
New Jersey. Yes.
Jersey. And you opened up your boutique in Atlanta. Why did you decide on Atlanta?
Because the designer that I was working with, someone already was carrying her dresses in New York. And I also felt like I wanted to start building up a home base in other areas besides New York. And I thought Atlanta would be the second best place for us to kind of build. It's where we get a lot of our clients come through the New York planners, but our second in line is Atlanta.
Okay.
So I wanted kind of like a home base there. And I feel like in terms of even for women of color, we do better business with each other, I feel like, in the South. Than in the North.
Is that right?
I feel like that. You know, it's just the amount of support I feel like is very different there.
That's really cool. Now, are you encountering more celebrity clients in Atlanta? Do you have to kind of move differently in Atlanta as far as navigating and promoting your business?
No. I feel like my celebrity clients 99% of the time comes through planners that I know and have a relationship with because they trust me.
Okay.
So we still get, you know, we get the celebrities, they'll still come through Atlanta. They usually come through the planners.
So that's been a really fruitful relationship. That's the key that I mean, you were a planner yourself, but then having those relationships with the planners.
That was the other thing. And that was what the coach told me as well. She said, if you do want to grow, you can't be their competitor. The planners need to be your ally. Be partnering with them, your allies.
Yes.
If you're offering planning services, why would they bring you on board? Because you're a competitor. Mm. So that was the other thing that the coach told me. And she was like, I think you need to pick a side. And if I were you, I would pick styling, because this seems like it's something fresh, new, nobody's really doing it. But yeah, lose the planning, because the planners are going to be your best friend. And she's that right. Our 90, it. Most of our clients come through planners that we have been loyal to, and they are in turn loyal to us.
Extremely smart, because I remember too, working with a planner, when you're a bride, what your planner says, you take it very, very seriously. It comes with the high, like, oh, they know what they're talking about. And they do. If they're using you as a bridal stylist, they do know what they're talking about when you're working with a trusted planner. So that is so, so smart. Now, you also mentioned having to hire because you were trying to do everything yourself. And I'm sure when clients book you, they want to work with you. So how do you duplicate yourself?
Well, sometimes from the beginning, mm-hmm. they're not always quite sure about the process and what's going on and who does what anyway. Unless they've been referred to specifically by a planner, we're able to kind of distribute. But for the most part, I still manage 95% of the weddings. I'm still there. We do have an associate who also has her own client base. She's based in Atlanta. So she was getting a lot of the brides who were coming through our store. So they would buy a dress from us and she would upsell the styling services and offer to assist them to finish the process, their accessories, and to be there with them on the wedding day. So she kind of had her own client base and she built her own rapport. So she started getting clients through referrals because she would have a bride and then the bridesmaids would see her at the wedding. So they would call and specifically request for her. But what I usually tell people, if the date is open, I'm usually there with one or two of my assistants. We've had times where we've had three weddings on one day. If there's three weddings on one day, I have to divide up the team. So I can't be at all of the weddings. So I'm usually at one wedding with an assistant, and then we'll have two more at another wedding and two more at another wedding. But what I do is I kind of warm them up to it, though. I'll introduce them in advance to whoever's going to be there with them and kind of let that person finish the process so that they're familiar, or whoever's going to be there will come to their fitting, the last fitting, so that they're familiar with them and so that
they
know.
Still get a moment with you, because that's what I would want, you know, like at least some FaceTime with you. And then you're like, oh, this person's, you know, going to hold it down on the wedding day.
I'm usually still there for everything. The fitting. I'm still managing. I'm still there throughout the whole process, managing everything. I'm at the fittings, making sure everything. But if they book me, and I, especially if they book me and I already have somebody on that day, I'll tell them when they're booking me. Right. I'll be handling your process, but we'll have another team on site for the wedding day.
Yes, I love that
and,
approach.
The planners are usually okay with it because they know my team and they know my team is good.
I love that approach to scaling. I think that's very, very smart because it allows you to still feel like Selena cares about me. I got that personal touch, but I know she's busy. Absolutely. I know she's growing. So I get it that she might not be there on the day. So I love that approach. And that's a tip for anyone who's scaling, whether it's a course or what have you, you know, where can you insert your personal touch while also outsourcing to your team to handle other matters, like get those wheels turning.
Yep. They always know all my brides, you know, have my personal number and they text me, even though we might, their process we do formally through our client management system, just so that we can keep tabs on everything. And so that if I'm not available, someone from my team can jump in and answer an email. But they know that when they're in crisis mode or they're like, girl, I can't do this email with you today. I just need to know where this dress is. Is it coming? And they'll text me or they'll call me. I'm like, I got you, you know.
Okay.
So they know I'm always a phone call or a text away.
Good, good, good. So now, before we jump into the lightning round, I'd love to know, how are you marketing the business these days? Like, those who know, obviously, right? But then there's always that brand awareness that can be done to bring in even more clients. So how do you approach marketing?
Right. So social media, Instagram reels do really well. When I post the Instagram reels showing, you know, kind of like our process or how we interact with our clients, we always get an inquiry or two every single time.
Oh, I love that. I love an effective reel.
Yep.
Do you have a formula to that effective reel that you plug and
play? Not really. My thing is this, because I'm seeing a lot. Like I said before, they weren't any bridal stylists. Now it's bridal stylists everywhere.
Okay.
Tons of them. They're coming up everywhere. We even hosted a workshop for bridal stylists last year. But what I like to display in my reels is something. I don't really have a formula. I like to catch my clients in special moments. Mm-hmm. Something that's very specific to them. Like, everybody has a different personality. Everybody has their own way. And I like to capture that. And just kind of the voice of the reel will just basically display what our overall relationship was like the whole process. Like, I had one bride. We fought the entire time. Like, we just went back and forth. And she just was like, oh, my God, you don't care about me. It was just like a whole
thing. Yeah.
But when we got down to that wedding day, I mean, we was just like two sisters. And I said, girl. And she was just, and she was Jamaican. So she would play like, you know, she would get amped up. So my reel for her, I put it on the reel. I was like, listen, we fought like sisters, but let me tell you something. This is my girl right here. She loved me and I love her. And I wouldn't have it any other way to be there with her on her wedding day. Yeah. So it's kind of like whatever we went through throughout that whole entire process, how I feel about them. Like I have brides that are just, some of them are very soft spoken. They don't say much. They're just kind of very humble and very just like, just very sweet and very caring. And, you know, and then I have other brides, they're just overly gracious. Like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for you. I can't wait to our appointment. So I like for the reels to kind of mimic what our dynamic was throughout that process. Okay. And to kind of show people that for me, it's more than just, okay, we're helping you choose your dress. I know that it's a very personal moment. And sometimes you don't know what brides are going through sitting in it when they're getting ready for the wedding.
Yeah.
So to just kind of be there for them so they don't have to worry. One thing they don't have to worry about is their dress. Right. Is very important to me. So I like to display that. So that's kind of like my recipe for a reel, just to show the human side of what we do, that it's just not on robot. It's not just about a pretty dress. No, everyone is not going to like everything you post. They're not going to be in agreement with every style that every bride wears. I don't care. If she was happy in that moment, if she loved her dress, if she loved the way she felt, that's it. That's all we care about. This is not like, I tell people all the time, styling for the red carpet is completely different than styling for a bride. You're styling their emotions as well. So you got to kind of remember that. Right. So that's my recipe for my social media. If I don't feel it, I don't post it. Like people say you should post more. I got to feel it. Like
you
got to
feel it.
Yeah,
I feel that. I feel that. I experience that as well. I'm big on energy and the vibrations that I have that day. And I only can create content, obviously, when I'm in a good space. So I can batch create when I'm in a good space, but I and I can, you know, schedule out content, but I definitely can't create when I'm in a negative space. I have to get out of that space first. So I hear that. And I like the approach of showing what it is, because I feel like you can never educate people too much about what your business does. And, you know, who you are, what you provide, because there's always going to be someone coming for the very first time.
That don't know. And I have to constantly tell people over and over again. And I think this year in terms of marketing, because I know you asked marketing and I said that I primarily use social media for my marketing. But this year we're going to be doing some other things. We're going to be doing some different partnerships with some venues and hosting some different events. Because one of my goals has always been is to be more present in mainstream, because I feel like the wedding industry and in terms of when we think of Black love, and a lot of people like to say, oh, Black love, Black, but the curators of Black love are not really present in things. So like, for example, if you go to Essence Music Festival, you got makeup artists are being displayed, you got fashion, you got all of these people, but there's never a representation of people who curate Black love. But if you see two people getting married that are famous, everybody's like, oh, we love Black love. We even had a docuseries called Black Love, right?
Right, right.
But what about the curators of Black love? We are often left out of that conversation. So one of my goals has always been, and I'm going to push forward that, is for us to be more included in those spaces and in those conversations on a broader stage with the TV people, with makeup artists, with hairstylists, with fashion designers, with the people who are just, you know, on the scene that we look at, that we look to for different things and for inspiration. Because I feel like people don't know about us until it's ready time for them to get married. So
that's so true. That's so true.
Is to kind of have to gain some strategic partnerships or to foster some strategic partnerships with some brands outside of the wedding industry so that they know about us way before they get married. And I feel like that will kind of change the game and that will kind of elevate our brand and also elevate the status of Black wedding professionals within not just the wedding industry, but you know, the broader stage that we all serve.
However, you have my wheels turning as you were speaking, because I hear you in the sense that you may not be a bride or ready to get married, but you've heard about the knot. You've heard about different things like Zola. You may have seen a commercial. You, in the back of your mind somewhere, you associate, okay, Zola is weddings, the knot is weddings. So in the same way, how can we, you know, elevate our brand so that there's that association, like, oh, you're getting married, like, oh, you need a stylist, check out, you need to investigate Vainglorious Brides. So that is definitely a growth and an important business goal that is also applicable to all of us as we're thinking.
All
and you know, don't get so happy with any level of success that you forget that, hey, there are people out there who know these other milestone brands and they don't yet associate us with this space and they need to.
Right.
So how can we do that?
Right.
One last thing on that now. So you've had major clients. So how does having, you know, helping someone like a Portia from Real Housewives of Atlanta, being featured in People, how does that elevate your brand, being that People is such a, you know, legendary brand? It's outside of just the space of Black love or weddings. They cover everything. How does that help with that goal?
Well, it kind of validates us. I would have to say throughout this process, one of the things that I've struggled with is validation, not in terms of myself. I know what I do is valuable, but in terms of the industry, we even get people in industry who feel like, what is the point of it? Why do you need somebody to do that? I can do it. You know, and brides will say, I can do it on my own. What is your point? Why would somebody pay you that? You even have people in the industry who think they can do it as well. You know, they're not really, they're skirting around it. They're just doing little things that we do, but they're not really going deep with it. And you want to be the jack of all trades. You know, that's the thing I learned in the beginning. Sometimes you can't be the jack of all trades. Sometimes you got to scale back. But for me, to get to the point where there are these people, New York Times, Washington Post, Essence, we've had features in all of these publications, it kind of validates our service. What we do is valuable. What we do is much needed in the industry. And any wedding planner that I work with will tell you that. And it kind of elevates us and it keeps us on the books. So 10, 15, 30 years from now, my grandkids can look and see, look, Granny was featured in all of these publications. They can
all of that.
And I've left my mark on history, wedding history, fashion history, because I've worked with different people. If you Google certain people and Google their weddings, our name will pop up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's absolutely very necessary.
And where do you see the business going from here? Will you continue to scale?
Education.
Oh, tell us more.
Like I said, I see a lot of bridal stylists coming up now. So what we did last year, we created something called On the Run with Vainglorious Bride. So remember, circling back to bridal market, what I did was I rented a luxury jet sprinter van and I opened up for four aspiring or current bridal stylists who have never been to bridal market to come to bridal market and I'll show them how to bridal market. Nobody showed me. I had to figure it out on my own. So, They tapped them. One girl flew in from the Bahamas, one from Miami, one from New Jersey. So we had three ladies and they came around with us, hopped from runway show to runway show. And in between shows, I did little mini workshop sessions. So different styles than relates to bridal styling. I touched on any questions they had about starting their business, running their business, becoming a bridal stylist. They were able to pick my brain for 2 days. So that was just the beginning of it. So moving forward, we're going to host a full 2-day bridal styling workshop experience for anyone. And I feel like that's necessary because I do want to maintain the integrity of what it is that we kind of got going over the last 10 years. Because again, this space wasn't, there were people here and there that were doing it, but on a broader stage in terms of celebrities, branding yourself a bridal stylist, no.
I love it. So now let's transition into the lightning round. You know the deal. Okay. Just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Speaking of education, so what is a top resource that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience that has really helped you with Vainglorious Brides?
YouTube.
All right. YouTube. Why is that?
Just looking at different ways of servicing clients, sewing, learning how to hand sew. Learning how to replace a zipper, learning how to replace a button, all those different types of things, little things like that.
True. Okay. Yeah. Number two, who is a non-celebrity Black woman entrepreneur who you would want to trade places with for a day and why?
My girlfriend, Alicia Reese.
Ooh, okay.
Because she gets to host all of these amazing events, but she also gets to be in the space with mm-hmm. so many different people who have lots of different businesses that they've started. Yeah. And she gets to talk to them and coach them about how to grow and maintain their business and even how to speak for yourself. Mm-hmm. And she just gets to meet the most amazing people. And she's just like a bubble of light. I would love to trade places with her to get to just be in some of the places that she's in and meet all the amazing people that she meets.
Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your day these days?
Meditation. Mm. Meditation. It's a non-negotiable. I gotta.
Yes. Husa. All right. Number four, what is a personal trait about Selena that has helped you be so successful in business?
Consistency. Since I've started this, I've been extremely consistent about relationships. So I would say consistency with building and maintaining and fostering and nurturing great relationships is a good trait that I have, which has brought me from the very beginning to now.
We can definitely see that. We can see that with the relationships you have. And then finally, mm-hmm. number five, what is your parting advice for our listeners today who want to be their own boss but are worried about losing a steady paycheck?
Find something that you love to do. Find something that you enjoy to do. And within that something, figure out a need that's missing that needs to be met. Meet that need and you'll never go broke. That's just pretty much what I did. And I think that as long as you have a need, there are people who need whatever it is you have. Mm-hmm. And you just always have that go and that passion and the consistency to foster and maintain great relationships. That's all the recipe for success. So
I love it.
Scale it down to the finest, most minute part of whatever it is that you love. Like, what is it that I love? And then exploit that one little thing. Gold mine.
And then where can people connect with you and Vainglorious Brides after this episode?
You can connect with me on Instagram at Vainglorious Brides.
Yes.
Our website, www.vaingloriousbrides.com. Mm-hmm. I'm also we're on Twitter as Vainglorious Brides. Okay. We're on TikTok as Vainglorious Brides. We're on Thread as Vainglorious Brides, Pinterest, and Facebook as Vainglorious Brides. And or Selena Howard as well.
So you guys, you heard it here first. Thank you so much for being in the guest chair, Selena.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Let her know you heard her on Side Hustle Pro. All right. And with that, I'll talk to you next week.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.